The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Welcome to a Tuesday, and I love it when the week begins, you know, on a Tuesday, because we've already got one down and, you know, four more to go. Can you tell I work for the weekend? Yeah, I guess someone should write a song about that. Anyway, welcome to it, a Tuesday, and it's a Laughy Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh is here. We got a lot to talk. Oh, my God. You know, last week was one of the worst weeks in history, I think, between Hurricane Ida both hitting Louisiana and then moving up the country to the Northeast and wreaking havoc there, to, you know, the Texas abortion law, to it goes on and on and on. Not that I want to relive it again. I'd like to sort of just turn the page on last week, but you know, it's not quite that easy. Plus, last week we had Joe Manchin rearing his ugly head again, saying, you know, with everything going on, maybe this is when we should hit the pause button on these bills that will move the country forward and make it a better place to live, because he's an idiot. Oh, my God. And now today, Ryan Grimm of The Intercept has a story out about Joe Manchin's daughter again. You remember her? Joe Manchin is his daughter is a, let me see if I can't find the tweet. Joe Manchin's daughter, I gotta find it again because I don't want to get it wrong. She is the president or the CEO of the company that makes and distributes the EpiPen. And we went through this, you know, years ago, where she's the one who, here, Ryan Grimm tweeted, and damning new email shows Heather Bresch, daughter of Joe Manchin, played a direct part in EpiPen price inflation scandal, according to just released court documents. Now, I thought we already knew that, but I guess this is new information that backs that up. So not only that, but then his wife is doing something with the Biden administration. Can we go back to Friday's show? And if you hadn't listened, tune in or get the podcast. It's free. There's no paywall. But we were talking about the fact that there's the filibuster is hanging by a thread, and it's Joe Manchin who's really holding it up. And I don't, someone's just asking, oh my fucking God, how is Manchin still in office? I don't know, but he's been doing this crap, and I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. So you know what? I'm not even going to continue and try to do it on my own anymore, because it's Tuesday and Laffy is here. So I'm going to let her struggle along with me as I try to put three words together and make a sentence. So with no further ado, Lauren Mayer, hit it.
Here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yes, it's every other Tuesday or thereabouts with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show. Hey, Laffy, how are you?
Hey.
Hey.
You know what?
What?
I think your YouTube is frozen.
My YouTube is frozen. Let's see.
It just has our card
on
the front.
Oh, shit. You know, I didn't start it again. Oh my God. That's
that'll
me.
Do it.
YouTubers, I'm so sorry. I need to figure out how to make YouTube start automatically, because I space out, and I'm so sorry. I owe you guys an apology. We are now on YouTube. I'm glad I brought you in quickly. YouTubers, you didn't miss anything but like a brain fart and me going off on Joe Manchin again, because his daughter is, I know, we're on now. Is whose answering machine broken? Why? Oh, no. Okay. So So the
House of Robert says they can't hear you on YouTube. Is that right?
What? They should be able to now. Hold on one second, because I didn't start. There's a lag, you know. But we do have audio on YouTube. Yes. Okay. He said, Laffy, tell her about YouTube. And you did. So it takes, you know, it's like a 30-second delay before YouTube catches up. But we're here.
Okay.
Yes, they're going.
you thank
know,
you.
I got to start off the week like this. Of course, I'm going to start it off with a screw up. Sorry about that, everybody. We're here.
Well, come on. This is what we do.
We screw up. So anyway, what I started with was Ryan Grimm's tweet about Joe Manchin's daughter. And a new email has surfaced that shows she played a direct part in the EpiPen price inflation scandal, according to just released court documents. So, and what I tweeted back to him was, all right, we already knew this, but hey, any chance to shine a spotlight on Joe Manchin and his grifter family again works for me.
Oh yeah. I've seen that tweet circulate too. And I didn't read much up on it. So I'm not going to be able to talk about it.
But
you
we knew this is what, remember when the EpiPen a couple of years ago, all of a sudden spiked, it used to be, you know, somewhat reasonably priced as far as, you know, pharmaceuticals go. And then all of a sudden it spiked by like 300%. It went from, and I'm pulling numbers out of thin air here, but from like $50 to $450. And people are like,
I do remember.
And it's Joe Manchin's daughter runs that company. And so now it's rearing its ugly head again, which is good because it was just last week at the end of this horrific week of just one tragedy, one horrible event after another, that Joe Manchin says, yeah, maybe now's the time to hit the pause button on this infrastructure bill. What? No, now is the time to move full steam ahead because our nation is falling, because the planet's falling apart.
Yeah, well, he's holding everything up. It's not, you know, infrastructure, but the one that I'm concerned about and I keep banging my head against the wall about is voting rights.
Yeah.
None of it will matter if we don't have voting rights, because they can, if we lose elections, they can just reverse everything we vote on, you know, that they pass anyway.
I know. And so, somebody, I wonder if I still have it open here. I had so many different things. There was a really good op-ed, I believe, in the Washington Post today about, do I still have it here? It's amazing. I didn't close this window. It's the editorial. It wasn't an op-ed by anybody. It was the main editorial at the Washington Post yesterday. And the headline reads, the John Lewis Act would restore key voting protections. Democrats should vote for it, should fight for it. You think?
Yeah, I've been tweeting about that. But Biden did put out a tweet today pushing for voting rights. He's finally, it's good to see that. He needs to do that every single day on TV, on Twitter, everywhere he can. But the main part that we need passed is that they will stop the GOP legislatures from overturning elections.
Yeah.
Well, if that doesn't happen, then those voting rights will be moot.
Because people
will vote in droves and then they'll overturn the elections.
Right. And I believe this John Lewis Act had been rewritten to include that in it. So I need to get somebody on the air who knows these two bills, you know, intimately.
I wish you would, because I did hear, though, that it wasn't quite where it needed to be on that they do make some allowance for that, but I don't think it's enough or something. I don't remember. I wish I could remember, but yeah, we need an expert like Mark Elias.
Yeah. Well, I've tried. I'll try again, but if anybody isn't in with Mark Elias, please send him my way. I'd love to get him on the show. Yeah. I just, you know, I go through the regular channels and haven't had much luck yet. But I will try, because I want an expert on voting rights who can tell us which, if either of these two bills or both, have those kind of protections that we need, because I'm not sure they're in there. But they have
been
going
through.
Yeah,
I know that there's a separate one. I do know that.
They have been going through different, you know, markups and iterations of them. So hopefully they're working in solutions to these problems that we now have. Hey, Laffy, can I tell you something that's really bugging me? I know you watch MSNBC all the time. You're like a super fan. I can't.
Not a fan. No, it's the only thing. It's just there, and it's better than some of the other stuff on TV. So
okay. So
I won't watch daytime anymore.
Okay. Well, now you have less reason to watch daytime, because one of the few people over there that I actually like is Eamon Moyadeen. And he was on, and I didn't watch him often. He's on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern. So, and I go on the air at 5, and I'm in show prep mode. So I'm not watching television at that time, but
yeah.
I always liked him. He was reasonable. He was mm-hmm. smart. He knows his shit. He's good.
He's fair.
Well, today, you know, there's a new head of MSNBC now that Phil Griffin is out. Her name,
right.
And I'm drawing a blank on her name. It's a woman, an African-American woman who's made a few changes. I'll find her name, but honestly, it's not important because you're not going to recognize her name anyway. But her first big change, actually, I noticed her first big change because they used to call all those daytime shows MSNBC Live. And the only one that had their name on it was Andrea Mitchell. It was Andrea Mitchell Reports. And now they're all so-and-so Reports.
So-and-so, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
That was her first major change because I noticed shit like that.
Yeah.
But her next major change, her personnel change, is a shakeup in the daytime lineup. So now it goes, it's Morning Jerk, followed by Stephanie Drool, followed by Hallie Jackson. And then, I don't know, then it goes from there. Well, now they're moving Hallie Jackson out of that 10 o'clock spot, putting her into Eamon Moyadeen's 3 p.m. spot, moving him to weekends, and putting him on one of the streaming channels, right? And I don't like the right? And so what are they doing with 10 a.m.? They're giving a new show to Jose Diaz-Balart. Now,
and I'm seeing cheers all over Twitter about
you
that.
You are?
Yep.
Ugh. Have they watched him? Now, Jose Diaz-Balart used to do a show on MSNBC, and it was pretty bad. He comes from the Diaz-Balart family down here in South Florida. Both of his brothers, Lincoln Diaz-Balart and Mario Diaz-Balart, were congressmen, Republican congressman from Miami, representing two different districts. Lincoln retired a few years ago, but Mario Diaz-Balart is still in Congress.
Yep.
He's still a Republican. He's still horrible. By the way, their mother, I believe, was either married to Fidel Castro or his sister or something. They are related to the Castros of
Cuba.
Oh, yeah. Look it up. Google it.
I didn't know that.
I have no reason to believe that Jose Diaz-Balart is not as Republican as the rest of his family. But that's not even what this is about. Here's my pet peeve with Jose Diaz-Balart. Jose Diaz-Balart is the Saturday fill-in anchor on the NBC Nightly News. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound bad, but I have a problem with how he pronounces the names of his Hispanic colleagues. Now, he says his name. Here's how they say his name on the NBC Nightly News. This is his open on a Saturday night. Oops, would help if I turn the volume up. Here we go.
This is NBC Nightly News with Jose Diaz-Balart.
Jose Diaz-Balart, an Americanization mm-hmm. of a Hispanic name, right? And
yeah.
And so there are a number of, you know, Hispanic people with Hispanic surnames on NBC News. There's mm-hmm. Dr. John Torres, who's their chief medical guy. Like, here's some of the other NBC anchors introducing Dr. John Torres.
Dr. Torres, thank you so much.
MSNBC senior medical correspondent Dr. John Torres is joining me right now.
Dr. John Torres recently received the coronavirus vaccine.
Dr. John Torres. In fact, this is how he says his name.
I'm Dr. John Torres, an emergency physician in the...
Dr. John Torres. So...
You found it.
Right? Yes. It took me a while. So, how does... what's his name? Jose Diaz-Balart pronounce Dr. John Torres's name? Get ready.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this conversation on COVID-19 with Dr. John Torres.
Torres.
Dr. John Torres, what a pleasure to see you, my friend.
Here with Dr. John Torres. Our medical doctor.
Medical correspondent, Dr. John Torres. Dr. Torres, the FDA has just approved a rapid coronavirus test.
Dr. Torres.
Dr. John Torres.
Torres.
NBC News. And
Dr.
Torres, it's great to see you.
It's Dr. John Torres. How does he say it again?
I'm Dr. John Torres, an emergency physician.
Dr. John Torres. There's another one, a guy named Gabe Gutierrez, who I've heard many, many of the anchors introduce Gabe Gutierrez. This is how Gabe Gutierrez has his name.
Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Guadalajara, Mexico.
And that's him saying his
own
name.
That's him. That's Gabe Gutierrez.
Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News.
Okay. So, Jose Diaz-Balart, introduce Gabe Gutierrez, please.
Gabe Gutierrez has his story.
Gabe Gutierrez, now on What's Next.
Gabe Gutierrez in New York. Thank you very much.
No. How does Gabe say it?
Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News.
That's what I thought. Gabe Gutierrez. But Jose Diaz-Balart feels like he's got to Hispanic it up. Gabe Gutierrez. Yeah, I can roll my R's too. Oh. But my favorite is Miguel Almaguer.
Here we go.
So there's Miguel Almaguer, who says his name just the way I pronounced it. Miguel Almaguer.
I'm Miguel Almaguer outside federal court where...
He's Miguel Almaguer outside of federal court. Jose Diaz-Balart, introduce Miguel Almaguer, please.
Miguel. NBC's Miguel Almaguer and his crew drove through the so-called Valley Fire with fire crews. Miguel, Miguel Almaguer, stay safe. Thank you.
Miguel Almaguer. Miguel Almaguer. Come on. I want them to say, hey, Jose, I pronounce my name Torres. Or Miguel Almaguer.
Why? Like, because obviously, if he hears them pronounce their own name,
you would think he'd to pronounce it the way they pronounce their name, right?
Well, I guess maybe it just comes naturally. I don't know.
But he
never understands.
I'm
that.
Jose Diaz-Balart. He says Jose Diaz-Balart. It's just a pet peeve. It's just a thing. Because I watch the NBC Nightly News, and every time he comes on, it's like we wait for the Miguel Almaguer. It's the best. I mean, hold on.
NBC's Miguel Almaguer.
He almost said it, Almaguer.
He almost did, yeah. Right.
NBC's Miguel Almaguer and his crew drove through the so-called Valley Fire with fire
One more
fire
time,
crews.
Come on.
Miguel,
why doesn't he
Miguel
say
Almaguer,
fire?
Stay
Miguel
safe.
Almaguer.
Thank you.
Miguel Almaguer. And he's like... I'm Miguel Almaguer.
I'm Miguel Almaguer outside.
Miguel Almaguer.
So you're saying he has an affectation.
You think? I'm saying he tries a little too hard. Hey, Jose, just leave it, you know?
Oh, dear.
Oy. Oh, my God.
Okay. All right. I know you're going to get tweets.
And I'm sorry. It's just a thing. It's like, I'll do it with a Jewish word. Like it's
right.
Today's it's Rosh Hashanah. Happy Rosh Hashanah. Happy New Year. Yeah, I don't say Rosh Hashanah or, you know, I don't up the Jewish words.
Hanukkah,
you know, Hanukkah,
yeah.
Hanukkah,
L'chaim.
L'chaim. I'm sorry.
L'chaim.
Yeah, I just really take the cue from the person saying their own name. That's why I hunted down them saying their own names. Pronounce it the way they do.
That's the thing. If they didn't pronounce it that way, you know, just Americanized, then of course, right.
Exactly.
I understand.
If John Torres said, I'm John Torres, I'd say, go for it. It's John Torres. That's how he says his name. If it's, you know, Gutierrez. If he said it, but he says Gabe Gutierrez. So respect the person whose name it is. God.
I wonder what they think about it.
I wonder
if they even notice that.
I'm sure they do. Because John Torres, because I went looking for, you know, I've seen John Torres a million times on NBC and he always signs off his reports. John Torres, NBC News.
Right.
But online, it's like they're all cut off. But there are a bunch of segments with him and Jose, and they're talking back and forth. And I see when Jose introduces John Torres, he sort of smiles. You know, obviously.
Only when you say it, it's like a Yiddish accent because you're saying tuchas.
Tuchas. No, that's tuchas. That's tushy. That's your butt. Tuchas.
John Tushy. That's going to really play well.
I know. All right. Oh, so there's my politically incorrect bit for the day. But, you know, the fact that MSNBC is giving him a show at 10 a.m. And killing off Ayman Mohideen's show, and he's very good, that pisses me off.
He is really good. I mean, he's one of the people I don't turn off. Right. I watch Andrea Mitchell.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I catch up on the news at that time. And she is good at headlines. Yeah. That's what she's good at. Yeah. She's good at getting all those stories out that I need to catch up on.
Really not.
Even though sometimes I think she's good and other times she drives me nuts.
Yeah.
So I can tolerate that. I can tolerate half the time, you know, because sometimes she'll obviously ask very biased questions and that makes me crazy. Yeah, I do think. But honestly, no, she is a good interviewer when she wants to get something out of somebody. I will give her that. And she's good at presenting straight news. Like, I learn a lot if I listen to her. She will present facts that I didn't know. So I can appreciate that in somebody. What I don't like is the watered down news where they recycle the same stories all day, every day, same guests, same everybody. Drives me crazy. I really want to, like... One thing I always used to love about Chris Hayes's Saturday show.
Yes, that was the best show. Up. That was a good show.
Up. He always had, I even asked him when he was going nighttime, will you still please tell me you're still going to have these terrific guests that you introduced for the first time? And his one word answer, yes. Thank you, Chris. Okay. At least you answered. But yeah. It's the same recycled stuff with the same. And the other thing, as you know, that bothers me about MSNBC is this camaraderie to a zillionth degree of my friend.
God. They're all my friends. My friend. Yes. And Hallie Jackson is one of the worst of those.
Yeah.
Everybody's her friend. Well, you know, good for you. Whatever.
I don't understand why they feel they need to be so cliquey when it's a news show. I'm glad that they're friends. I mean, that's great. You know, that's great.
Yep.
Yay, they like working with each other. That's that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But they don't have to ram it down our throats so much.
I know. All right. I had to get that out. Yes. And then the next time you see Jose Diaz-Balart, just pay
attention. I'll always remember that now.
To how he pronounces names. And it's only Hispanic names. He doesn't do that with Italian names. He doesn't do it with German names. He doesn't put on that affectation because he's Hispanic. He's Cuban. Okay, great. We know you know how to speak Spanish, Jose.
The one thing that, I mean, I don't really watch him. I've never really watched a whole show with him, I don't think. I've seen him a lot, but just not in a big dose.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't like is how he signs off. Is he the one that signs off with, and thank you for the privilege
of your time. Yes.
Well, you know what? You're on. It's not like I have a choice unless I watch the channel, obviously.
I can change the channel. Right.
Yeah.
You just happen to be there.
Right. I happen to have it on. That's what I turn on.
That's right.
I've tried CNN a few million times and I can't watch them either.
CNN, I'm telling you, the morning show on CNN, now that Breonna Keeler is on, is so much better.
What time is she on your time?
Well, that's the problem. It's 6 to 9 Eastern time. So that's, you know, 3 to 6 your time. But there's the DVR. David DVRs it so he can watch it when he gets up and not have to watch the daytime stuff, because the daytime
but I don't DVR news.
Channels are horrible.
I DVR nighttime, primetime shows, but not. I don't DVR news because I want breaking. I don't want to be watching old news as something else is coming
on. You know what? They repeat the same shit over and over again, and if there's something breaking, you'll hear about it. But throughout the day.
Well, I guess I get news alerts, too.
Yeah. Anyway, but check out Breonna Keeler, because I really like her. And as you can tell, it's not often I say I like one of these news readers on television. She's more than a news reader. She's very good. She's tough.
Oh, that is good. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to. I doubt I will record. Honestly, I don't care enough to do that.
All
but
so
I just want to get the headlines done. I want to see a little bit of commentary if I can.
Yeah.
Kind of get my head, because I'm half asleep. You know, I want to get my head back into the news. And,
I want to see the news in the morning when I wake up, and that's that they give it to me on CNN, where MSNBC, I don't ever need to. That's my news. That's my news covering your face. I don't ever need to hear Joe Scarborough again. I really don't.
Oh, God.
Ever.
You know, if I could watch, if he were on it when I'm up, I wouldn't watch.
Uh-huh.
When he was on, there was for some reason, there was something going on with the news and he was on a lot. What was some breaking? It had to be about either Trump or, you know, one of those big stories that was breaking. And for some reason, he was on in a big block in the daytime.
Yeah.
And he was the one on anchoring it.
Oh, God.
And I said, this is what people are watching?
No.
This is the guy there. No. Why?
I don't know. I don't.
Oh, my God. He's terrible. Yeah. So, no, I won't watch him.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Anywho.
No, Trip agrees with me. Yes. Trip in the chat room agrees with me. Yeah. Brianna is really good. I want to try to get her on the show because I really like her.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah. All right. So, news. Last week was just a giant clusterfuck. I mean, I said Friday was the end of the epically worst week of the year, and a bad week. I mean, but it was like between Texas. Oh, my God. Okay, let's talk Texas for a second. You probably have a tweet about this, but I got to play this anyway.
Sure.
Abbott, the governor of Texas. So today he signed their horrific voter restriction law into effect after the Democrats left the state for a month to try to keep them from a quorum. And then a couple of Democrats got cold feet and went back and gave them the quorum and it passed. He signed that into law today, right after he signed this most prohibitive abortion law in the country, and the Supreme Court let it through, which blows my mind. So today, a reporter asked him about it, and
yes,
you got to hear his answer. I will let you know my thoughts, but I have a feeling when you listen to this, the same red flag is going to come up for you as well, because there's a giant, like, what the fuck in here? So here's the question and his answer.
Governor, regarding the heartbeat bill, why force a rape or incest victim to carry a pregnancy to term?
It doesn't require that at all, because obviously it provides at least 6 weeks, for a person to be able to get an abortion. And so for one, it doesn't provide that. That said, however, let's make something very clear.
Yeah.
Rape is a crime.
Yeah.
And Texas will work tirelessly to make sure that we eliminate all rapists from the streets of Texas by really? Aggressively going out and arresting them and prosecuting them and getting them off the streets. So goal number one in the state of Texas is to eliminate.
Okay, exactly. So now, all of a sudden, your goal is to get rapists off the streets?
Well, because you're getting blowback.
You hadn't gotten rapists off the street up until now? You hadn't tried to do that? What's the difference between yesterday and today? Because you've outlawed abortion? Now you're going to say, oh, we're going to get rid of the rapists? Where were you up until now?
Because nobody complained until now. Now he's hearing a lot of blowback and he's going, oh, you know what? People are angry at me right now, so I think I better say something ridiculous to cover my ass. It's so wrong. I do have a tweet, I think, about this, but because I kept reading them, and I think I put one up finally. But the first, all the ones that I initially saw were, you just thought of this, why didn't anyone think of this before?
Yeah, what about now all of a sudden you've realized rape is a crime and we're going to get the rapists off the street? Where have you been?
Yeah.
Women have been raped, men too, but, you know, people have been raped for centuries. Now you decide that you got to do something about the rape.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter.
Oh, my God. I feel like I should pull out, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Thank you. It
doesn't
matter. Doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It just
doesn't
matter.
Guys, that's a meatballs
reference. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the last time I actually pulled out the clip, I got a copyright violation for it.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? Oh,
I'm not kidding.
That's such a good clip.
It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just does. Sorry. Bill Murray. You
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
So good.
Yep.
So good.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's get to the tweeties, and I'll eventually get to that segment of,
okay,
of Texas.
Okay. Let's somebody let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet.
You know, sorry, I'm sorry to do this to you, but before you get to the tweets, there's a related story to go along with the story about Greg Abbott. So he outlaws abortion in Texas. I know. Yes, you still have all of 6 weeks to get before people even know they're
big 6 week
pregnant.
Mark that doesn't count.
Yeah, a big 6 weeks. So, actually, in Mexico.
Oh, yes, I just saw this.
Mexico has basically legalized abortion. Mexico's Supreme Court has ruled that it is unconstitutional to punish abortion. The decision will immediately only affect Coahuila, a state on the Texas border. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, that is interesting.
Four of Mexico's 32 states allow abortion in most circumstances, and now Mexico's Supreme Court says anybody who wants an abortion can have one, and immediately we're going to open up the Mexican state that borders Texas. So Texans, come on over. We got a new medical tourism feature here.
Maybe they'll build a wall and Trump will pay for it.
They already did. But by the way, did you see any of the pictures of them after after the floods recently?
Pictures of the wall.
Trump's wall destroyed. There are big sections missing of it because the water came in and just blew it apart.
Yeah. How come I didn't see that?
I don't know.
Oh, I so would have tweeted 10,000 pictures of that. That's so good.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, boy.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Oh, well,
so
okay.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, that's just great. I just love that. I'm so glad you told me that. Okay, well, here's something Trumpy.
Yeah.
This is from Midas Touch.
Oh.
And I have like two or three parts to this.
Okay.
Breaking from Midas Touch. Trump aide Jason Miller has been detained by authorities at a Brazil airport and is being questioned regarding anti-democratic activities while in the country. Trump World's hands are all over this. Don Jr. was set to go to Brazil as well, but canceled due to Hurricane Ida.
Wait a minute. Don Jr. was going to go to Brazil and Jason Miller was there and engaged in undemocratic activities.
Imagine that. And then Matt Schlapp tweet, and that, just so you know, Stone Kettle, one of my favorites. I love Stone Kettle. Follow Stone Kettle. It's spelled just like that, Stone Kettle. He just went, what? Here's the tweet from Matt Schlapp.
And Matt Schlapp, by the way, is the head of the American Conservatives Union. They do CPAC and stuff like that.
Yes. Okay. And as a matter of fact, he mentioned that. As our CPAC delegation prepares to come back to America, the whole world will be watching to make sure that no renegade arm of the judiciary in Brazil breaches the travel or speech rights of those who traveled to Brazil to rally for freedom with our friends and allies. And then Stone Kettle just goes, what?
Because Bolsonaro is so welcoming and such a, champion of democracy.
So then Jenny Cohn, under Midas Touch, because he mentions her, she said, this is insane. Bolsonaro is copying the U.S. insurrection and has close ties to Steve Bannon, and yet U.S. media is ignoring all of it. Bolsonaro's son is literally the leader of Bannon's movement, in quotes, in Brazil, and he was in Washington on January 6th and attended Lindell's symposium.
Oh,
and
then how interesting.
That. And then any more? No, that was the one I wanted. That was the tweet that she decided to add to the, and then she has a whole thread that explains in great depth all these ties and all these goings on in Brazil. So that's just something you guys, it's under Jenny Cohn, C-O-H-N, one.
Jenny Cohn, one.
So you can go to her timeline. Her thread is from now it's longer than 11 hours ago. It's from yesterday, I suppose.
Okay. Hey, by the way, Joy in the YouTube chat room just got back from a dental medical trip to Mexico. She went to Mexico to have dental work done. And she's home now.
Well, Mexico's going to be the new U.S., and the U.S. is going to be, the New Mexico.
Yeah.
Olivia Nuzzi, or I don't know how to say her name.
I think it's Nuzzi.
Okay. This is about Jason Miller. Okay, he said, asked if he was placed under arrest. Jason Miller tells me no. The statement he is circulating to the press raises more questions than it answers. So here's the thing. Jason Miller, hi, were you arrested in Brazil or anywhere? And he says, this afternoon, my traveling party was questioned for 3 hours at the airport in Brasilia after having attended this weekend's CPAC Brazil conference, we were not accused of any wrongdoing and told only that they, quote, wanted to talk. We informed them that we had nothing to say and were eventually released to fly back to the United States. Our goal of sharing free speech around the world continues. And then somebody says, were you placed under arrest?
Uh-huh.
No. What were you questioned about for 3 hours? Yeah. And where were you questioned? And by whom? Crickets.
Uh-huh.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Right.
So there you go. So it's going to get, I have a feeling this story is going to grow. I hope it does.
Oh, yeah. I would like to know what undemocratic activities he was participating in.
That's exactly what we all would like to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's going to, now that people can start digging a little,
yes.
I hope they find out.
I hope
okay,
so too.
Here's a story that has been bothering me for, it's been about 5 days now. We'll
uh-oh.
See when, with,
okay.
When was this published? Where's the date? September 2nd from ProPublica.
Okay.
So heeding, this is their title, heeding Steve Bannon's call, election deniers organized to seize control of the GOP and reshape America's elections. I wish I had my own thread on this. What they're doing, I'm going to try to just in a nutshell because it's you know, I'm not going to read all of this to you. They're installing, the Bannon people, one, I'll read you the subheading. The stolen election myth inspired thousands of Trump supporters to take over the Republican Party at the local level, exerting more partisan influence on how elections are run. That's the main story. And they're talking about how all these people are getting installed in the tiniest low-level positions and on up locally. School boards, election boards, and below. And they're, what ends up, of course, happening is that they eventually get higher and higher up the chain and run for office and, you know, all sorts of things. I mean, larger office, you know, mm-hmm. higher office.
Right.
And so what they're doing is it's the same story. When you have an election, it can get overturned because these people are installed now. Thousands. Guys, this isn't a couple hundred people,
no.
which is already a lot. This
nope.
isn't five people. This is thousands of Bannon, Trumpy, horrible assholes. So Steve Bannon puts out a tweet. Or this isn't a tweet. I don't know what this is.
Okay.
Like maybe it's on. It says V. What's V stand for? Anyway, some
V
other
five.
I don't know what that. Fuck. Anyway, MAGA and America First are actively engaged now and using action and agency in a true populist democracy by getting involved at the local level. Upon the local level, everything else is built. Hello.
Yep.
He's exactly right. And yep. that's what somebody said. They said, Ron Filipkowski said, one of the rare occasions where Bannon isn't lying. And then I tweeted out, this is my thread. Heeding Steve Bannon's call. And then I tweeted out the article. And then Joe Connison said, wait, I'm sorry. Filipkowski said, there is a school board meeting for Manatee County, Florida tomorrow night. This was just put out by a local MAGA group whose leaders have been trained by national organizers on how to disrupt them. Read especially the highlighted part. This is what they're doing everywhere. Now listen to what they say.
Okay.
Call to action. Attention, men. Men are taking over the Manatee County School Board meeting. You don't have to be a dad to show up and or speak.
Oh my God.
The school board has gone rogue. They have repeatedly ignored us, and we are demanding that they make masks optional with no opt-out form required. Instructions on how to sign up to speak will be located in the comments. Public comment is 3 minutes long, blah, blah, blah. You may speak in person or over the phone. However, I would like a manly presence there. And then circled, if you do not have a speech you would like to say, we can provide a speech to read.
Of course.
Be
they
the
can.
Man you were called
oh
to be. Step up
God.
And defend these children who cannot defend themselves. And Joe Connison said, you don't have to be a dad. We will provide a speech. Scammers.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then. Okay, wait. I got to find my thread again. There we go. And then Jennifer Cohen says, there is an organizational structure to this, quote, Christian nationalist assault. It's international and includes training. The CNP is the top of the pyramid. Bannon, Mike Flynn, Ali Alexander, Charlie Kirk, Blackwell, Cleta Mitchell, and she goes on, and she has a whole thread. And then Ross Story, Americans are sleepwalking into Trump's unfinished coup. That's what's going on, everybody.
Yeah, I know.
Pay attention. Pay attention. I don't know why we're not running Democrats up and down.
I don't know. I don't know.
The ticket. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And I really am afraid that the Democratic Party, it's, you know, it used to be a joke, but now it's just, unfortunately, it's history. Democrats snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. They are there, you know, they have it there and they do everything possible to fuck it up over and over again.
It's true. Here's one sentence. The solution, Bannon announced, was to seize control of the GOP from the bottom up. That's what they're doing. Listeners should flood into the lowest rung of the party structure,
yep.
The precincts.
Yep.
Precinct officers are the worker bees of the political parties, typically responsible for routine tasks like making phone calls or knocking on doors. But collectively, they can influence how elections are run. In some states, they have a say in choosing poll workers. And in others, they help pick members of boards that oversee elections. Guys, this is what's happening.
Yep. And the Democrats, are too apathetic. Certainly down here where I live in Broward County, the bluest county in Florida, but you'd never know it because there are a few progressive groups that try to have meetings and nobody shows up. To the point I've given up. You know who's very involved? Boca, Britt Summers.
Oh, cool.
She's involved in
these
clubs.
She's awesome.
She's great. And there are a handful. It's the usual suspects and nobody else. And frankly, I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of the party. The Florida Democratic Party is just, it's a joke. And so you know that I became a precinct committee person.
Yes.
But the party, it's the Florida Democratic Party down to the Broward Democratic Party is so dysfunctional, so horribly run that I attend these meetings. It's all still on Zoom. And I just, it's all, you know, it's not participatory. It's like a lecture. And I'm sorry, if you know one thing about me, I don't like being talked at.
Exactly.
You know, I will participate, but you're going to talk at me and tell me what to think and what to do. Plus, the Florida Democratic Party has openly, the head of the Florida Democratic Party, this guy named Manny Diaz, who never should have gotten that position, openly dissed the progressives in Broward. Oh. So I'm like, fuck this. I don't have the time or the energy or the inclination to deal with people like that. And plus, it would be counterproductive because you know me, I say what I think. And I would tell these people.
And then you get thrown in jail and mazed again.
Right. And I would tell these people what I think of them. So it's better that I don't attend anymore. But it sucks.
You said, I don't have the time or the energy or whatever. There's a commercial, totally off topic. Okay. There's a commercial on TV for bras. And there's this woman that says, I don't have the time or the energy for underwires. Like, what time does it take to wear the same?
Or
like
energy.
If you put on,
I mean, I get not wanting to wear one.
That's a whole different, but you know, you put on a bra.
Yeah.
What's the difference if it has an underwear? I don't have the time to put on an underwire, but I can put on a non-underwire bra.
By the way, speaking of bras, I hate them. I hate the underwire bras the most. Mm-hmm. One wonderful thing about this pandemic is I go weeks at a time without putting a bra on because I go weeks at a time without leaving the house. Now, if I do leave the house, I put on a bra. And I saw a meme someone put out there, you know, your mask is too uncomfortable. Well, this bra is too uncomfortable, but I wear it because of you, not because of me. I wear it for you. So fuck you. Wear your fucking mask. And so, so that's what I think of all the time when I hear this. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I don't have time to wear an underwear.
And you could see that my shot is conveniently from above the breast up because I'm not wearing a bra. I don't wear a bra.
Ooh, look at you, you fancy schmancy girl.
Show my shoulders. Because I don't have to. But if I leave the house, I put on a bra because it's the polite thing to do because you don't want to see my boobs bouncing around.
I want to be flopping all over the place. That's right, on to Aborcian.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Jody Hamilton, my doppelganger.
Yes. Yes, she is.
She tweeted out this. This is from someone named Brent Graber who got it from a friend. So it's like a friend, you know. All right. He said, last night I was in a debate about these new abortion laws being passed in red states. My son stepped in with this comment, which was a showstopper. One of the best explanations I've read. Reasonable people can disagree about whether or when a zygote becomes a human life, in quotes, human life. That's a philosophical question. I can't talk. That's a philosophical question. Mm-hmm. However, regardless of whether or not one believes a fetus is ethically equivalent to an adult. It doesn't obligate a mother to sacrifice her body autonomy for another, innocent or not. Body autonomy is a critical component of the right to privacy protected by the Constitution, as decided in Griswold v. Connecticut, and of course, Roe v. Wade and McFaul v. Shimp. Consider a scenario where you are a perfect bone marrow match for a child with severe aplastic anemia. No other person on earth is a close enough match to save the child's life, and the child will certainly die without a bone marrow transplant from you. If you decided that you did not want to donate your marrow to save the child, or for whatever reason, the state cannot demand the use of any part of your body for something to which you do not consent. Mm. It doesn't matter if the procedure required to complete the donation is trivial, or if the rationale for refusing is flimsy and arbitrary, or if the procedure is the only hope the child has to survive, or if the child is a genius or a saint or anything else. The decision to donate must be voluntary to be constitutional. This right is even extended to a person's body after they die, if they did not voluntarily commit to donate their organs when alive, right?
Yep.
Their organs cannot be harvested after death, regardless of how useless those organs are to the deceased or how many lives they would save. That's the law. Use of a woman's uterus to save a life is no different from use of her bone marrow to save a life. It must be offered voluntarily. By all means, profess your belief that providing one's uterus to save the child is morally just and refusing is morally wrong. Mm-hmm. That is a defensible philosophical position, regardless of who agrees and who disagrees. But legally, it must be the woman's choice to carry out the pregnancy. She may choose to carry the baby to term. She may choose not to. Either decision could be made for all the right reasons, all the wrong reasons, or anything in between, but it must be her choice. And protecting the right of body autonomy means the law is on her side. Supporting that precedent is what being pro-choice means.
And that's very well said. My only problem with that is it's not a child.
Yes, thank you.
It's not a child.
I just did a rant about that.
Oh my God. It's a fetus. It's a zygote. Yes, then it's a fetus. And it's a child. It's a baby when it's born. It's a child at about 3 or 4 years old. Sorry.
Exactly. After toddler.
Yes.
Child.
Exactly.
I mean, you don't have a child.
And it's not a baby. It's a fetus. And at 6 weeks. It's at 6 weeks. It's the size of a grain of rice, and there's nothing formed there.
I read also that there really isn't a heartbeat at that point.
No, it's electrical impulses is what they are. There's no heart formed at 6 weeks. The whole thing is just offensive. And when I hear them save the unborn child, it's not a child.
I some troll came at me with that, and I did the rant. I did exactly what you said. Amanda Turkel did the reporting of that Abbott is okay with an abortion. Man doesn't have to be an exception for pregnancies, for rape and incest. He's going to eliminate all rapists.
Right, of course. And it wasn't important up until now, but now he's going to eliminate all
rapists. Okay, so LOL GOP says, I guess the headline here is Abbott could have eliminated rape before, but didn't get around to it.
Right. It just wasn't that important.
What do you know? Right. And then he goes on, some insist Abbott doesn't understand how pregnancy and menstruation work. That's missing the game. Fundamentalists all know a 6-week ban is effectively a ban on abortion, but they also know that they're much more likely to get away with gutting Roe by pretending they're not. Yeah. So it's all bullshit, people. Hello.
Yep. By the way, let me share this with you. It's not on Twitter. This was on Facebook, and somebody posted Pete Buttigieg's answer to Chris Wallace on Fox. Chris Wallace saying, just to be clear, you're saying you'd be okay with a woman well into the third trimester deciding to abort her pregnancy. And Buttigieg said, look, these hypotheticals are usually set up in order to provoke a strong emotional, and Wallace cuts him off and says, it's not hypothetical. There are 6,000 women a year who get abortions in the third trimester. To which Buttigieg says, that's right, representing less than 1% of cases. So let's put ourselves in the shoes of a woman in that situation. If it's that late in your pregnancy, then almost by definition, you've been expecting to carry to term. We're talking about women who have perhaps chosen a name, have purchased a crib, families that then get the most devastating medical news of their lifetime, something about the health or the life of the mother or the viability of the pregnancy that forces them to make impossible, unthinkable choice. And the bottom line is, as horrible as that choice is, that woman That family may seek spiritual guidance. They may seek medical guidance. But that decision is not going to be made any better medically or morally because the government is dictating how that decision should be made.
Right.
Hello.
Right. Good answer.
It
Thank
is a good
you.
Answer. Right?
And I don't usually like all his.
Nor,
I mean,
nor
he's
do
a, he
I.
has good comebacks.
I'm not a Mayo was... Pete fan at all, but that was good.
Yeah, that was good. Here's Ellie Mistal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Says, I really don't understand why people are praising the Justice Department for enforcing a law that they already should have been enforcing that will do nothing to stop people from suing abortion providers in Texas in violation of the constitutional rights of pregnant people. And then he said, but for the Biden apologist Dems out there, no, I'm not going to be satisfied with inaction just because people are eager to normalize Texas's assault on constitutional rights.
Hello. There you go.
I mean, yes, it's good that the Justice Department got loud about it.
Yep.
But they're not changing. You know, they're enforcing a law that they should have already been enforcing. He's right about that.
Yep.
I'm glad
yep.
they're doing it. I'm not. I mean, good.
Yep. By the way, so that's, you know, Texas. But here in Florida, our idiot in chief, moron death sentence has said, oh, we're going to put that into effect as soon as the legislature comes back into session. It's first thing we'll do. Kristi Noem of South Dakota said, yeah, we're looking at that law very closely now. All these yeah. other states are doing it too. So our friend
Definitely.
Lauren Windsor goes to a rally in your neck of the woods, Laffy.
Oh, I know. I heard.
With Larry Elder. Now, I'm going to play the video that she posted today because Lauren Elder just does not stop. And, you know, because she's backstage at the rally, you hear the music loud. You can hear her. I tried to clean it up, but it didn't work.
It
just made it noisier in other ways. So I'm going to play it. If you're watching video, you'll see she's got it captioned so you can, you know, read what they're saying. If you're listening to the audio feed, audio stream or a podcast, I'll repeat the important parts. Okay. So here we go. This is Lauren Windsor's video. She's backstage and she sees Larry Elder and here it goes.
Hi there.
Hi there.
So nice to meet you. I wasn't going to vote in the recall, but then I heard that Lila Rose
endorsed you. And that to me is why I'm going to turn out to vote.
I
appreciate all that you're doing. He said she got attacked after she endorsed him by the left, of course.
They ask me about abortion all the time. I said, if you ever ask Gavin Newsom, at what point is too long? How about 8 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days?
All right. So what he said there is, and I'm serious when I said they ask me about abortion all the time. I said, do you ever ask Gavin Newsom at what point is too long? How about 8 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days?
How about that?
How about that? Nobody ever asked him that. They need to ask him.
But so, I mean, I know we can't get a fetal heartbeat bill like in Texas, but I mean, what can you do if you're governor?
What can you do if you're governor?
You told anything that's going in the wrong direction. And I'm not going to be signing any bill that puts taxes in abortion.
So what he said is, hold on. She said, but so, I mean, I know we can't get a fetal heartbeat bill like in Texas, but what can you do if you're governor? And he said, I can certainly make sure that I veto anything that's going in the wrong direction, and I'm not going to be signing any bill that puts taxes on abortion. What?
I'm sure that I veto anything that's going in the wrong direction, and I'm not going to be signing any bill that puts taxes on abortion. But
here's another thing that gets me about the left. They keep asking me about Texas. We have left-wing people here, and two-thirds of them dominate. Boy, he just makes no sense.
You keep asking me about Texas. We have left-wing people here.
Two-thirds of them dominate.
If Roe v. Wade is overturned, and I hope to God that someday it is.
If Roe v. Wade is overturned, I hope to God that someday it is, it goes back to the states. And given how left-wing California is, the probability is nothing's going
to
change.
Back to the states. And given how left-wing California
At least
is,
not.
The probability is nothing's going to change, at least not for a long time.
For a long time, unfortunately.
Well, I think Donald Trump gave us a Supreme Court that's going to overturn Roe v. Wade. But I just want to make sure that, like, when you're in there, you can do whatever you can to stop the baby killing until it happens.
And so Lauren does her, you know, she pretends to be a fan. That's how she gets in there and talks to them. She said, well, I just want to make sure you're going to do whatever you can to stop the baby killing until that happens, until the Supreme Court overturns Roe. And he says, I will. Of course I will. And then she was, somebody told her she had to move. And so she left. That was the end of the
Well, he also wants to get rid of contraception. So,
he does. Ugh, everything so, about this man is just despicable.
He's horrible. I used to hear him on the radio.
I used
back,
to work in the
back.
Same building as him. When I, you know, I worked with Mark and Brian at KLOS. Yep. Larry Elder was on KABC in the same building. Yes. Luckily, I was usually gone by the time he came in, but he stunk up the place.
Yeah, he was horrible. I used to wait for Michael Jackson to come on.
Yeah, Michael Jackson was good. Not you know, the British, older.
The British Michael Jackson, yeah. Although by today's standards, he's a centrist. He used to like Cokie Roberts a lot. But anyway, that's people don't know who he is. Mickey Kendall, who's an author, I think, she said, I'm having a really hard time with this Handmaid's Tale narrative around Texas because white women's votes are how all of this is possible.
Well, you know what? I hate to say it. 55% of white women voted, at least in 2016, for Donald Trump. I don't know what it was in 2020. But yeah, white women, what the fuck? Just saying. You know.
I don't understand them at all. I just saw a cartoon in this thread that I'm going to read you an Ari Berman quote. But there's a cartoon of a bunch of elephants with tiki torches, you know, marching, like real militant.
Yeah.
And it says, voters will not replace us.
Oh, God. That's
GOP. God, and they're wearing little red hats, Trump hats. Anyway, Ari Berman said, 16,000 new COVID cases a day in Texas. Let's ban cities and schools from requiring masks. 16 cases of false registrations in 2020 out of 11 million votes. Let's make it harder to vote.
There you go. That sums it up. That's what they're all about. It's opposite world.
Yeah. Oh, do we have your thing?
Do I have opposite world?
Your opposite world voice. Opposite world.
No, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
By the way, time to for a little promo. A week from tomorrow, on the 15th of September, in this slot, my old friend Bill Mumy will be here. Bill Mumy and Angela Cartwright, by the way.
Yeah. That's so great.
They wrote a book together.
Yeah.
So they have a book together. So I asked Bill a while ago, come on. He's like, can we wait till the book comes out? We'll do this. So they're coming on a week from tomorrow. Bill Mumy and Angela Cartwright. She was the sister on Lost in Space. But Bill Mumy, of course, was the kid who wished people to the cornfield on the Twilight Zone. He was the one who called his dead grandmother on the phone. Bill Mumy had the best Twilight Zone role. So that just came in my mind.
He's so good. I got what's her name? Angela Cartwright's sister to come speak. Oh, she was in the Birds. Well, oh my God, her name just went out of my head. Angela, her name is Cartwright.
Her sister, Angela Cartwright, Nancy Cartwright, was as Bart Simpson.
No, then it's another one.
Okay.
It's another one. Maybe it's not her sister. Maybe it's her something else, but they're related.
I don't know.
Oh, never mind. Okay. LLGP.
Angela Cartwright was also in The Sound of Music. She was one of the kids.
Yes, she was.
One of the Von Trapp family singers.
Cartwright, The Birds.
Yep.
Let's see. Veronica Cartwright.
Veronica Cartwright. Right. That was another sister. I didn't know she was in The Birds.
Yeah, she was a kid.
Yeah.
And since then, of course, she's done a ton of work everywhere. But and she was really good. She came to my class when I was teaching comedy and whatnot, and she spoke to the kids. Anyway, LOLGOP said California, with almost twice as many people as Florida, is seeing fewer COVID-19 cases and less than one-third the number of deaths. Huh?
Go figure.
Yeah, DeSantis got a pandemic participation award. Newsom has to fight off a Republican recall.
Yeah.
Rewarded for his work.
Again, opposite world. I'm not going to play it again, but opposite world. You know, somebody the other day heard, finally, he said, now I get what you mean by opposite world. Thank you.
Yes. Well, yeah. I'm going to end on an up note.
Okay.
This comes from an account, Chris Evans. New white supremacist Richard Spencer, you know, he coined the term alt-right, as I recall, says his life is in shambles. His wife left him. He's a social outcast.
No.
He goes on trial next month for his role in Charlottesville, and he can't afford a lawyer.
Oh, no. Oh, isn't that just
poor little
just horrible?
Booba.
Horrible. Mm,
let this Jewish mother comfort him.
Aw. Le Kepi, honey. Like Capri, honey. It reminds me of, you know, in the floods. I don't know where his offices were located, but James O'Keefe lost everything. Project Veritas just was destroyed in the floods. And isn't that sad? I tweeted, oh no, so sad. Oh, wait a minute. Karma rules. Suck it, O'Keefe.
Yeah. Can you hear the clap?
Yep.
That's me clapping.
All right. And on that low note, we're done. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and here every other Tuesday or thereabouts. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you, too. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks.
See you later. All right. Okay. And with that, we're done. It's Tuesday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we have author Adam Tooze coming on. He was on with us a few months ago or like last year or the year before. Time runs together for his last book, A Crashed. This one is called Shutdown, How COVID Shook the World's Economy. Oh, Laffy's gone. All right. So we'll do that tomorrow. Okay. Just so you know, for the rest of the week, we've got Howie Klein will be back on Thursday. I know we can disagree without being disagreeable. And on Friday, Tom Hartman will be here because he has yet another book out because the man is a machine and he just doesn't stop. All right. so I'll see you tomorrow. And until then, I'll leave you with the news. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Attorney General Merrick Garland on Monday stepped up to address one of the many injustices recently enacted by states, in this case, Texas. He said that the Justice Department is considering all options to fight Texas's new law banning abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy and will protect abortion clinics that are, quote, under attack. As you know, the Supreme Court refused to block the law, the most restrictive in the country, from taking effect last week. President Biden sharply criticized the decision, and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi said lawmakers would take up a bill explicitly protecting a woman's right to an abortion. The Texas law is the most direct challenge yet to abortion rights guaranteed by Roe v. Wade, which established the right to an abortion without excessive government restrictions. In the next term, which begins in a month, the justices are scheduled to hear a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade in a case out of Mississippi. Stay tuned. COVID-19 cases are still rising in much of the nation, in much of the world, actually. Johns Hopkins University data shows the 7-day average of new cases in the U.S. on Monday was more than 300% higher than Labor Day of last year. That means overcrowded hospitals and a continued rise in infections among children, which is of particular concern as kids return to school. And then there's the Labor Day holiday. Many experts fear that this weekend could make matters worse. The TV was filled with shots of college football stadiums and other typical Labor Day activities that surely looked like super spreader events. Meanwhile, a potential outbreak of COVID-19 in Singapore is undermining that city's plan to try to just live with the virus. The number of new cases in Singapore doubled in the last week, according to that country's Ministry of Health, rising to more than 1,200 cases for the week that ended on Sunday. So last week, we told you of this odd story about a judge ordering a hospital to give a COVID patient ivermectin. That's that drug commonly used to deworm livestock that has not been proven effective against the coronavirus. Well, thankfully, another Ohio judge on Monday reversed the first judge's ruling. In this case, an Ohio man, Jeffrey Smith, was on a ventilator with COVID-19. His wife, Julie, sued Westchester Hospital after the hospital declined to give him ivermectin, even though Smith had found a doctor who'd prescribe it. Well, Judge Michael Oster said he was sympathetic, but, quote, does not support allowing a physician to try any type of treatment on human beings. So that's Ohio. Incarcerated prisoners in an Arkansas jail said the facility's physician prescribed them ivermectin to treat COVID-19 and that they weren't aware they were taking the livestock dewormer. Washington County Jail physician Dr. Rob Karras acknowledged in an interview that he had prescribed the drug, typically used to deworm horses, but he said the incarcerated people were, quote, not forced to take it. Okay. This Saturday marks the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on our nation. Pre-trial hearings in the case of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's been accused of being the ringleader behind the 9/11 attacks, and four other detainees at Gitmo, resume this week. The last in-person hearing in the case was February 2020. These five men are accused of plotting and executing the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. If convicted, all five could receive the death penalty. Charges against them, announced by the U.S. government in 2012, include terrorism, hijacking aircraft, conspiracy, murder in violation of the law of war, attacking civilian objects, intentionally causing serious bodily injury, and destruction of property in violation of the law of war. The law of war? How about we outlaw war? Just saying. President Biden on Monday approved major disaster declarations for six counties in New Jersey and five in New York, paving the way to quickly get federal aid to areas devastated by flooding from the remnants of Hurricane Ida. The death toll from flooding caused by the storm's record rainfall last Wednesday has risen to at least 50 people. Many of them were trapped in flooded cars or basement apartments. The White House said President Biden would visit New York and New Jersey on Tuesday to survey the damage. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy toured flood-damaged Lambertville on Labor Day and said that Biden's disaster declaration would help flood victims get grants for temporary housing and home repairs and low-cost loans to cover uninsured property losses. In New York, city officials are going door-to-door to ensure that people get the federal relief benefits they need after Hurricane Ida's remnants caused deadly flooding. The announcement from Mayor Bill de Blasio came after President Biden approved a major disaster declaration for the area. Senator Chuck Schumer said it's the fastest he's ever seen a major disaster area declared. Additionally, Louisiana's lieutenant governor is promising changes after seven nursing home residents died after being evacuated before Ida to a warehouse with hundreds of other people. They set up cots on the floor, which later flooded with no protection for those evacuated there. Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe is sounding an alarm over the next scheduled, quote, rally at the Capitol by the Stop the Steal folks. Quote, they should take it more seriously than they took the same sort of intelligence that they likely saw on January 5th. In fact, we know that law enforcement officials in Washington are bracing themselves for possible unrest again at the so-called Justice for J6 rally. It's planned for September 18th, and it aims to support the insurrectionists charged for their actions on January 6th. Homeland Security Intelligence Chief John Cohen previously told CNN that recent online extremist rhetoric is strikingly similar to the buildup to the January 6th attack, with increasing calls for violence linked to conspiracy theories and false narratives. It's still unclear how many protesters plan to attend the rally, which thankfully falls on a Saturday when the House will be in recess, so far fewer lawmakers or staff will be around. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.